Kia ora, my name is Richard, and I have the joy of serving this motley crew called church, and bringing the word tonight. Yeah, are you glad about that? Who was here last week? Last week we kicked off the first of a three-part series called God With Us. And we pull that thought, that concept from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through to 23. But before we get into the scripture, let me just say, from my heart to you, from my family to you, Merry Christmas. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. And here's this portion of scripture. It says, "And she," referring to Mary, "will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." Now the prophet was Isaiah, 700 years earlier. The Christmas story is sprinkled through hundreds and even thousands of years in the Old Testament. It's a beautiful book. And the prophet Isaiah said way back then, being reinforced in Matthew, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, what does it mean? What does it Emmanuel mean? Let's say it all together. God with us. Fantastic. So that we introduce this concept that the presence of God is painted in different pictures in the Bible and uses nature. The presence of God in different seasons in life. And last week we looked at God in the wilderness. God often whispers in the wilderness times because he is close. We learned last week that our deepest needs becomes a gift when it drives us to depend upon God himself. Today, we're going to go from God in the wilderness to God in the storm. Now, trust me, you're going to be encouraged tonight. You see, here's the premise. We're not going to talk about mountaintops because it's easy to believe in God. It's easy to believe that God is with you when you're on the mountaintop. When you get the pay rise, when you get the new car, when good things happen, we feel so spiritual and so close to God. But it's when life goes trashy, when things happen, when it seems like we're all alone, that's when we need to know that God is with us. Now, someone's got to say amen to that. God in the storms. Have you ever been through a storm before? A difficult time in life that blows apart. You didn't see it coming. Where is God when you're going through a storm? Now, because I only work on Sundays, I've got a lot of time during the week to do research. And I did a bit of research on storms. In little old New Zealand, we have some big storms. Back in 2017, we had Cyclone Donna. A category 5, 205 kilometers an hour wind, hurricane. And a year before we had Cyclone Pam, 250 kilometers an hour. Don't you think it's a funny thing that they name killer storms after people? I mean, a storm that kills people, I was just thinking about you. And they used to name storms after geographic locations, longitude and latitude. But in 1954, catch this. In 1954, they started calling storms after women's names. True story. I mean, how dumb can you be? The U.S. meteorologists began to name them after their girlfriends and wives. True story. I mean, how dumb. Can you imagine me coming home from work one day and saying, "Man, I was coming from Karaka Street home and the car could barely stay on the bridge and the rains, it was raging, it was mayhem, it was devastating, and darling, I thought about you." Well, 25 years later, We had storms, had equal rights. We had men coming in as well. So now you'll find storms around the world alternate between men and women. Interesting, isn't it? Right now, some of you are going through storms and they have names. Storm depression. Storm addiction. Maybe your storm is called cancer. And you're going through the battle of your life. Storm betrayal. Somebody you trusted. You thought you could trust them. You could trust their word. But you found out they said what they shouldn't have said. Or storm finances. Has anybody gone through storm finances? Bang it on the card, baby. I look forward to those Christmas presents after the service. Storm relationship. What do you do when you're in the middle of a storm? Unfortunately, most people, many Christians, blame God. They blame God. Where are you, God? Why did you allow this? I don't understand. Why don't you do something if you're up there? Today I want to share the big idea with you. This whole sermon is around one simple yet big idea, and one that I think all of us, if we're human and honest, will get caught up in a trap. And here's the idea. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Let me repeat that. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. We're going to camp out in Acts chapter 27. If you're not familiar with the Bible, there's two main divisions, Old Testament, New Testament. We're in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, straight after the Gospels, Acts. Chapter 27, here's Paul, the great apostle Paul, and a bunch of men on a boat. Now, we don't know how many men are there, but it's clearly more than a few. They're on the boat. Paul is a prisoner. Paul is under the Roman occupation. He's got the leaders. He's going on the ship, and they're going to drop him off somewhere else as a prisoner. And a storm rolls in on Paul and these men. They're panicking. If you read chapter 27, these hardened men are panicking. They're tossing everything overboard. They're going down. The waves are coming over the side of the ship. They're terrified. They've not seen the stars. They've not seen daylight for days. They don't believe they're even going to survive. And in chapter 27, verse 20, in the NIV translation, it says this. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. How many of you would describe your storm as continuing to rage? It just won't stop. He says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storms continued raging, we finally gave up hope. Hopeless. Hope for being saved. Giving up all hope. There's no way this marriage is going to make it. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm never going to have a child. I'm always going to be single and alone. I'm always going to be depressed. The storm just keeps raging in our soul and in our mind. You give up hope. I wonder if there's someone tonight in this very room, you've given up hope. I want you to notice how people blame everything on the devil. The guys in the boat chose to go in the storm. The guys in the boat were warned that the weather was risky, but they still went ahead anyway. So many Christians think the devil causes the storm. No, not true. Often, it's not the devil's fault. It's us who made a stupid decision. Now, don't elbow anybody right now. Some of you are in the middle of a storm because you spent too much money. Or maybe you allowed your emotions to get the better of you and you said something you shouldn't have said. I've done that one many times. Or maybe you've just procrastinated. I mean, if you're binge watching Netflix and not studying for the exam, don't blame the devil. Yeah, I'm preaching good now, right? Turn that sucker off. It's called self-control. Sometimes we get ourselves in the storm. I mean, you know, come on, sweetheart. Everybody told you not to date the guy. Your mama said don't date the guy. Your daddy said don't date the guy. Your best friend said don't date the guy. Your pastor said don't date the guy. The fortune cookie said don't date the guy. But no, you thought, oh, he's got potential. Here's a little word to the wise. Ladies, listen up, listen up. Never get in a relationship, never marry a guy because of potential. Be prepared to live with what you see now for the rest of your life. If you don't want to do that, then don't get in the relationship. But that's a little bit of marriage advice right there. Yeah, I'm preaching now. Everyone told you, sweetheart, but you still went ahead. He's got potential, all right? He's got potential to ruin your life. Be quiet on the front row up here. I can feel it coming. This is a good time to say nothing, man. But sometimes it's not our fault. Some of that crew on that ship did not want to sail. Paul was definitely one of them. He said, the weather's not good. It is not going to end well. He predicted that it was not going to end well. Sometimes we end up in a storm because of somebody else's dumb decision. I wonder how many of you have been in a storm because of someone else. It was another driver who drank and he drove through the red light. That's why the storm happened. Or maybe the company executives made a silly decision and you lost your job as a result. Or in my case, your parents couldn't fix up their marriage and so they just got divorced. And you grow up fatherless, as is so often the case. Or you trusted someone, you really poured your heart out, you trusted that they could hold confidence, and yet they went and told other people. Some of our storms we bring upon ourselves, other storms we don't. It was the meanness and the insincerity of other people. In the middle of a storm, it's so easy to give up, isn't it? The storm just keeps raging, but never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God Almighty. Paul goes on in verse 22, he says, but now I urge you, keep up your courage. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Keep up the faith. Keep up your courage, friend, because not one of you will be lost, says Paul. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, get this, catch this. Last night in the boat, in the storm, an angel of the God of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. Wow. Can you imagine an angel standing beside you? Angels, there's another text that shows that one angel slay about 148,000 trained warriors. See, angels aren't fat babies with little wings. You know, they've got to get on this liver cleansing diet thing we're doing here. Angels are powerful warriors. And I believe with all my heart there are angels in this very room. I believe it. There may be some angels right behind me now. There are angels all around. An angel stood beside Paul. You see, I believe that the world is so much more than what we see with our physical eyes. There's a spiritual world. There's spiritual battles that go on in our soul, in our mind, and territories and cities and places. An angel who is a representation of God. Imagine that you're in the middle of a storm and the presence of God is with you. There are so many ways that God rocks up. God can send an angel He can come down in the form of an angel. He brings the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us. You know, God is already in tomorrow. Did you know that? God is not bound by time. He's in your tomorrow. Do you know He's already there? We don't know what's coming, right? We hope it's fine weather. We hope it's so pertinent, isn't it, to the Auckland Christmas weather. We hope it's fine. We hope we don't have a car crash. We hope that big bill doesn't really come in. We hope things, we press forward. But God is in tomorrow. Now, this is good theology. This should bring comfort and galvanize our souls to know that He knows all things. God hears our prayers. God comforts us when we hurt. He directs us when we're lost. Paul said that the angel stood beside him in the middle of the storm. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Now, somebody needs to hear this tonight. I am here to remind you, dear beloved, that God is with you. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He is with you in the storm. I want you to catch the spirit of this. I love in 2 Timothy, Paul says this to his young protege, Timothy. He says, everyone has deserted me. No one stood with me. But the Lord stood at my side and the Lord gave me strength. Psalm 16 verse 8 in the NLT says, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. Can someone say amen? When someone is with you, that of someone who's got expertise, someone who's got strength and knowledge, someone who can help you, and they come on the scene, that can change your demeanor, it can change your posture, it can change your confidence. Back in around about year 2000, one of our sons got a real bad case of croup. If you don't understand croup, you can't breathe. Shane, our second son, for those that know, when he would breathe in, his whole chest was concaving. And my sweet little wife, how dedicated she is. She let me sleep, would you believe it? We look back now and think, sweetheart, you should have woken me. But he couldn't breathe. The boy was gasping for breath. So she decides in the middle of the night to take him to hospital, gets him in the car and drives all the way into Auckland City. I know nothing about this. Into Auckland City Hospital. Doesn't have the presence of mind to park in the emergency car park. She goes all the way down to the lower car park, if you know car park 2 at Auckland City. And I guess it's adrenaline that kicked in. She's a desperate mama who doesn't want a boy to die. He might be 10 or 11 or something like that. He weighs about 50 kgs at that time. She carries him up the road, up from the car park to the hospital because she's got adrenaline pumping. She's got to see her boy come through. And out comes an orderly running to the situation, a man who comes. And all of a sudden, because he was on the scene, he helped. He brought strength. She knew, I'm okay now. I'm at the hospital. I've got an orderly here to help me. Praise God. Friend, I want to tell you tonight, you've got a whole lot more than an orderly with a nice blue uniform. You've got God Almighty who's going to carry you, who's going to help you. He's going to get you through. He is with you. He's beside you. You see, peace is not the absence of storms. Peace is the presence of Jesus in your boat. The disciples, different boat, different storm. The disciples are going along. Many of you know the scriptures. A number of the gospels record it. They're on the boat. Powerful storm rises up. These guys are trained fishermen. They're not intimidated by a little bit of a swell. These are hardened fishermen. That was their craft. That was their trade. That's what they did. Peter was a fisherman. And yet he's going weak at the knees because this thing's about to go over, baby. We're about to drown. They are in panic, but Jesus is down the back of the boat asleep. And the disciples did exactly what you and I would do. Freak out. Does God care? Does God even know? Why isn't He doing something? The preacher said every life was going to be rosy. This is not fear. This is not good. I don't like this one little bit. Jesus, where the heck are you? And the disciples were fearing for their lives and totally freaking out, or Jesus was having a beautiful nana nap down the back of the boat. They panic. They wake Jesus up, and Jesus stands and he looks at every nation, Auckland City. And he says, "Oh, ye of little faith, why are you afraid?" And then Jesus looks at the storm and he says, "Peace, be still." Three words changes the weather. You see, the storm may be raging around you, but how big is your God? God is with you. Peace, be still. And immediately the weather changed. The boat became calm and there was peace on the boat. Why? Because Jesus was on the boat. Peace is not the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. Now, you missed a good moment there to say, "Praise God." Amen, preacher. God will use what you learn in your storm, my friend. There's a purpose in the storm. The storm did not catch God by surprise. You see, God, listen up. God's doing something in you. God is strengthening your faith. God is increasing your capacity. God is reinforcing foundations in your character. He's growing you, my friend. And he will use your storm to help somebody else out there. If you've overcome betrayal in a relationship, you can teach someone else how to find it in your heart to forgive. If you've climbed out of debt, you can help someone else. You can give them some advice. You can tell them you can do this. If you've survived cancer or some other illness, you can encourage someone else. Whatever the bondage, whatever the situation, this or that, by the grace of Jesus, you've been set free. I go to hospital visits now very differently to what I used to do. I was very sick a few years ago. They actually mentioned the C word and examined me from top to bottom for several days in North Shore. And I tell you, it changed my level of empathy when people are sick. There's just no way sometimes you can really identify with people unless you've been through something. Can someone say amen to that? There's a purpose in the storm. You don't always know it in the middle of the storm, but when you make it to the other side, when you get safely on shore, man, whoo, you don't want to go through that again. You don't want anyone else to go through that, but I want to tell you, you'd never trade it in for the grace and the change on the inside of your very life. You'd never trade it for the intimacy you now have and the faith in God. You'd never trade it for the depth of spiritual power, the depth of faith and character inside of you. Oh, friend, it produces, some things are produced only through storms. But most of us run away from the storm. I get it. That's natural. But inside the storm is spiritual gold. If you draw closer to God. Acts 27 verse 25. Let's continue the story. So keep up your courage, men. Keep up your courage, ladies. For what? For I have, what, let's say it all together, faith in God. Let's say it louder, faith in God. That it will happen just as he told me. Faith is not what you see, faith is what God says. Yeah, see, you're all asleep again, you see. You're all thinking about that Christmas pudding. Some of you need to awaken your spirit and not live in the rational. You see, there's great disease inside of this brain of ours that undercuts faith. Martin Luther says this mental assent is the enemy of real faith. I'm not saying packing your brain or packing your reason, by all means use it, but it will not get you to the places you really need to go. It alone will not get you there. It's called faith, based on what God wrote in His Word of God, based on His words, praise Jesus, amen? It's not what we see. Faith is in what God says. What He says will come to pass. I have faith in God that it will happen. He will see me through. He is my deliverer. He is my provider. He is with you. He is with me. My faith is not in the boat. It's in the one who commands the wind and the waves. My faith is not in the ship, but in the one who grew the trees to make the wind, to make the boat. My God will bring healing and breakthrough. I will have peace in the storm because He stands beside me. My faith is in Jesus because He is with me. See, here's the bottom line. There's some things we cannot control. We cannot control our situations. We can't control when the storm hits. We can't control how it hits. We can't control how long it's going to last. We can't control the intensity of the storm. We can't control what people do. We can't control what people think. But we can control who we listen to. We can control what we say with our mouth. We can control what we believe. We can control where you place your faith. Praise God. I have faith in my God for that what He says will happen. Who is God? Psalm 46. I love this text, the scripture. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. It says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Why? Because He is with you. He's by your side. Who is He? He is Emmanuel, God with us. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and when the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. In the 21st century, we could say it like this. Even if I lose my job, I will not be afraid. Even if this relationship does fail, I will not be afraid because He said He would never leave me. He said He would never forsake me. He said He is with me. He is what I need. He is my safety. He is my strength. He is my comforter. He is my source. He is my redeemer. He's my provider. He's my salvation. Hallelujah. He's my deliverer. He's my righteousness. He is my friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's my rock. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. He is my peace, friend. Peace is not the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. That's why you never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. If you know someone who's going through a storm, or maybe you are going through a storm right now, I want you to lift your hand up. I want to pray for you. Maybe you're going through a storm right now. Get your hand right up, please. I want to pray. Any kind of storm, or you know someone who's going through a storm, let us pray. And Father, I pray for this church that we would be sensitive to others who go through storms. I pray, Father, that Your love would flow through us as a church family. I pray, Father God, that all of these hands that were raised would sense Your presence in so many ways. I pray that an angel of the Lord would bring comfort to their very soul. Today, may Your living word be soothing to their soul and renewing of their mind. Let their faith be strengthened. I ask, sir, that You would work wonders through the storm. Not to pluck them out, but Lord, they would capture the gold and the nugget and the value that's in the middle of a storm. Let Your purpose happen in their hearts. Lord, I pray tonight. that we would cast all our cares upon you. And that each hand that was raised, they would know that you care for them. Let your grace, your mercy, your presence, let it guard their heart and their mind. I pray that you give us all supernatural peace today that this world knows nothing of. While eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I wonder, do you know Jesus? You may be in a place tonight where your own sin has caught up to you. You've tried to be good, but it's not working. And that's because, friend, your heart needs to change. Trying to change our behavior, trying to do religious deeds, it means nothing if our heart is not changed, because the real change needs to be on the inside. Our heart, the Bible says, is sinful. But the good news is that God has a solution for sinful hearts. Jesus came to earth at Christmas over 2,000 years ago because he loves you. He loves you so much that he became one of us, Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus came and he lived a sinless life and he died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin and your sin. And friend, if you'll accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ and turn from your sin and give your heart to him, he will forgive you. He will change you. He'll come and live on the inside. If that's you today, you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to become a Christian. I need a new heart. I want to change. I've come to the end of my road. It needs to happen right now. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. Just pray it quietly in your own heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you, a sinner. I can feel you knocking on my heart. I ask you to forgive me for all my sin. Please cleanse me. Please wash me. Please make me new. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow you. I want to give my whole life to you. Father, we thank you that you sent your son. And we push back all the commercialism around Christmas. And we embrace the story of Christ's birth. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. We truly are lost without you. We owe you everything. Thank you, Jesus. In your powerful name I pray. Amen. Amen.